Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, just started.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, good evening, good day, wherever you're joining us. You've sat down right here at the Transformation Cafe, and we're so glad that you did. We know that we've got you guys on demand, so if anybody's on listening in the regular live tonight, you can go on demand after about a half hour after we're done, at about 9:30 Pacific Standard Time, and we'll be available, so you can go ahead and check out the show. I am Robin Masevich, one of the regular diners here at the Transformation Cafe, and we have a few of our regular diners who scooted up the table. So, Miss Marveen, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. How is it in the beautiful downtown? You are blessed?
I am glad you are great.
Oh, you're glad that I'm great. I know that you are blessed. We're all blessed. It's such a wonderful thing. And Miss Gloria is here tonight. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you?
Hello, Miss Robin. Hello, Miss Marveen.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, we're so peppy and cheerful tonight. That's wonderful. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Well, I hate to bring everybody down, so I'm not going to do that. This is Mr. Jamie calling from Seattle.
Well, you know,
Great Pacific Northwest up here, huh? What's that now?
I said, you know what? With friends who sit up, scoot up to the table, everybody's just where they're at, and it's perfect. So,
there you go.
You know. Yeah, glad and grateful that you've joined us tonight. So I was talking with another friend of mine today, and we were talking about freedom, a sense of freedom when it comes to just different aspects of our lives and how do we move from one thing to the other and things like that. So it kind of sounds like a vague introduction, but I was sharing with her how through my life I've always thought it was very interesting that when it comes to levels of what we allow ourselves to have for a sense of expression or who we are as a person. And I realized now that I'm in my 50s that I didn't really have a certain level of my sense of myself until my mom and dad passed away, which I thought was kind of interesting. And
say it again.
Part of the reason when my mom and dad had both passed away, you know, and part of that came from the fact that while they were alive, there were certain expectations that I had of having to be a certain way for approval and just a sense of, you know, what was expected of me as a child compared to just me as an adult and doing things in my world. So I thought that might be kind of an interesting conversation just from all our different perspectives of when it comes to a sense of being able to be artistically expressive, being able to just kind of move about and do the things we want to do in the world without necessarily having certain levels of expectations on ourselves, and just a sense of, you know, really being able to be authentic and free with ourselves and others from not having either having relationships or not having relationships with other people. So that's kind of a loaded introduction, but I'd be interested to see what all you guys have to say about that. So who wants to jump on in on that one?
I guess nobody, huh? Well, I'll try.
Okay.
When you're growing up, you seem to think you have to act a certain way, and you have to. Yes, you do. Especially with authority figures, if you're in school or such, as far as later in life, and I'm in my 50s, so like I said, I my expectations are I find that I still try to shoot high, you know, and that way if I don't make my expectation, at least I'm I have something to show for myself. but you know, your parents, they try to make you make the right decisions, and they can't hold your hand your whole life. And obviously, once they're gone, they're not here they're still here, but they're not here they're in spirit, but not in the flesh. So I feel that they're watching over me. Yes, I kind of think that way. So I don't know if what that means, but there you go.
Okay, well, that was a good shot. But do you have a different sense of freedom of, like, you know, since your dad's passed, you know, having that whole sense of just coming from a level of the accountability you hold to yourself as opposed to having a parent doing that for you?
Well, most definitely, I try to do the right thing, you know, and I guess when you think about it, now that I think back, and you know, when my dad was older, that I probably should have been a little more immediate there with him. But all I can do is have memories. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's been opportunities with other people in your life since that time that, you know, you kind of learn from that experience and have new choices and perspectives on, like, how would I move forward in being able to be there or, you know, be helpful to another person, you know, in a way that, like, it's like making it right in another way, you know what I mean?
Well, I try, if you care for the people you care for and you love the people you love, and hopefully that is reciprocated, and you know, try to be honest and, you know, direct, honest, and caring, you know, compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Because I think for me, one of the best things that I've really, really strive to do, I think, with a part of all the things that I've learned, is just really treating others the way you want to be treated, no matter what, you know?
True. The golden rule.
Yes. Yeah. The golden rule. The golden rule.
That's right.
Well, you know, and some would say that was a universal law. So there you go. We're, you know, living in the laws of the universe here.
And in a perfect ideal world, everybody would treat everybody equally, but I guess that's not going to happen. Try to do your best.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say not going to happen. It's just like, you know, it changed your mind, changed your perspective. It doesn't mean it can't be that way. I mean, you know, it's just like, I used to not do that, but now I know better. Now I know a different way.
Right.
You know, necessarily better, but just different. It's a different way of being with people and not being with people. That's good. So, what do you think, Marvin?
Well, the conversation started off with freedoms and things like that. When you said that, did you use the word loaded gun or something?
No, I didn't do that. You just did.
No, I think it's more like a bomb.
A bomb?
Absolutely. When you start, I mean, you're referring to parental conditioning.
Right, exactly.
And some of us are lucky enough to have just kind of one environment the first 4 or 5 years, or at least one set of directions and rules and things. But then you know, your formative years, 1 to 7, well, by the time you get into kindergarten and first grade and so on, now you've got other people with all these expectations. And then if you're raised in a church or something like that, and freedom is an interesting word, because you take a look at some of these people that, I don't know, in some cases they really love other people, and the other people don't want to be there anymore, so they just go kill them or do something drastic. And there's too many of those types of freedoms today because of misinterpretation, lack of understanding, or not, just plain not paying attention. And one of our greatest gifts is freedom. But too many people, I think, take too much license with their freedoms, including in business, in politics in any other areas. I think a good example of that is a guy from Toronto who's just, is belligerent. He admits to using, certain drugs and alcohol and things like that, and his behavior is off the wall. And in his, I'm sure in his head, he can do whatever he wants. And so finding a balance of what, and truly defining what good or what love is, because at the core of the being, if they really define love, they're not going to hurt other people. They're not going to misuse or abuse people in any way.
Right.
And, the interesting part, and then when it comes, to the parental thing, my daughter's in her 50s, and I think what's really interesting with that is I don't see her a lot. I don't try to control her life, but we have a really good relationship. And I think that one of the hard parts, it's easy for all of us, to blame parents and things, but I think sometimes we don't realize that we can define and then move into what genuine freedom is. And genuine freedom is being able to care. All my life I've been told I'm either too sensitive or I'm too caring or I'm too something. It depends on the moment and the mood, right? And it's hard and I'm going to just take responsibility for me, is that we have a lot of those things going through our heads, and unless we're willing to pause, even if it comes to a temper tantrum or something else, and take a look at what's really going on, that's a great freedom, because that releases us from something that is binding us, has been binding us for a long time, and we don't even know it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And so the bottom line, it's like the other day I was thinking about, freedom of speech and some of the other freedoms. And the beauty is it's wonderful, and that's the way that at least the United States was originally based on. But it's been scrambled quite a bit in a lot of respects. And you can use the Constitution, or you can use the way that different people have misinterpreted or manipulated their particular religious or spiritual beliefs to justify some of the things that they've done. And so when it comes down to that, it's back to the basics, and it is that do unto others. And, if you are a genuinely caring person, you're not going to go out and shoot somebody or do any of those types of things. But getting to the core of that base, we watched a movie this weekend, and I had just seen a piece of it, and I think it was called Pathfinder. And the one thing in that whole movie for me was, the wolf's heart has two appetites. One is love and one is hate. And the other person says, well, which one wins? And the response was, it depends on which one you feed the most. And that just seemed, for whatever the reason, it just seemed to make sense. Because too often, we get worked up in all kinds of different things, and even with the news, for example, because I posted a couple of things on Facebook recently that truly were objective, and I had one person that said something about me defending, and if I was doing anything, I was being objective and saying these people need to stop, I didn't use the word arguing, but they need to get together and work things out. But the interesting thing is, the news, first of all, if you take a look at several different news stations, for example, people form opinions by what they hear on the news or read in the newspapers or they hear from somebody else or they see it on the internet, and they take that as the truth. A lot of times mm-hmm. those things are only partial truths.
Wait a minute. Everything on the internet is true.
Yeah, I saw the commercial. Did you see the commercial?
No, I hadn't. I was just joking. But there's a commercial that says that?
Oh, my God, yeah. This girl's talking to this guy on the street, and I can't remember. But she says, well, yeah, everything's true on the internet. And it was that conversation, and she had a date that she met this quote-unquote model on the internet.
That's right. Now I remember. Yeah, the guy was really nerdy. That, like, you know, looked like a total loser. Okay, no.
But, and he goes, bonjour.
yeah, exactly.
I think some of it, when you take a look, and that was definitely comedic, but there are a lot of people out there that believe things they hear, they see, and they don't really look into how much of it is accurate and what has been left out or added to or kind of a word changed here and there to make it sound a little bit different.
Well, that's what they're always talking about, how sound bites are just, like, especially in political campaigns and things like that, can be so dangerous because taken out of context, oh, my gosh, you know, you could, totally ruin somebody or, you know, make them, you know, the most famous person in the world, depending on the content and how somebody gets this like, wasn't it like, it's like, what is it, 3 seconds or something like that? They're doing sound bites that are that small and short nowadays. I think it's 3 seconds
is pretty short. There's not a lot you can do, but anything is possible, and especially
it's 6 seconds.
You know.
Maybe it's a 6 second thing. I think it's 6 seconds. I don't know. It's just really, really, really short. Because the new trend, like for internet stuff, is like you know everything in a minute. If can you do it in a minute? Okay, then you'll look at it. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, let's say the soundbite is as long as it needs to be a soundbite, I guess. Or whoever determines the length of it, who knows?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, that's
well,
the point too. That you know, depending on the content and how they're putting it with something else. But they've been doing that forever. I mean, depending on when reporters are writing and putting stuff in, you know, when it comes to levels of quotes and things like that from somebody, you know, when it comes to levels of really having congruent content as opposed to just how they're wanting to jade something when it comes to levels of, publicity or just information in general.
Well, one of the things I find
interesting,
I don't watch much TV, but I do to watch Good Morning America because they report the news. They don't show favoritism. It's objective reporting, where there are other channels, and I've looked at them, some of them, because I was curious. And you can tell by the emotions and the way that they put things that they're not just reporting, they're giving part of their own perception or their own opinion on it. And there's nothing wrong with that because they have the freedom to do, back to freedom, they have the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, the most important thing is looking at the genuine freedoms and all of us, one way or another, being kids, we kind of blew our parents off in certain areas or whatever. But I can honestly say that my parents, had their fair share of problems. They did the best they could do with the circumstances that they were dealt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think, a lot of, and I also hear a lot of people say, well, my parents, whatever it is.
Right.
There's a point we get to, regardless of what they say, we make our own choices. And it's much easier to blame somebody else. If my parents hadn't been drinking or my dad hadn't done this or whatever, then I wouldn't be the way I am. And when we choose at a certain age or a certain level of maturity or whatever you want to call it, we choose our path. Granted, we are influenced. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But we have to be honest enough and self introspective enough to realize that, you know, they didn't make some of those choices for us, and we can blame them for whatever we want to blame them for. We took the steps. They didn't take the steps for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big, and a lot of people don't. Go ahead.
Did you have a different sense of yourself, though, like when your parents did pass away? A different sense of freedom, or just a sense of a level of yourself that, you know, that was different after they passed?
You know, I don't know that that's true, but I don't know that it isn't true. I know that, you know, and I mean, my mom had breast cancer, and I felt a sense of relief, but not because my mom was gone, the sense of relief, because it was way back when breast cancer was kind of first discovered. And my mother went through hell.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the technology and things. And, I mean, you know, I took her, because the City of Hope at that point in time was the only place that you could get the radiation therapy and the other stuff. And I don't even know if chemo was available at that point in time. And so, you know, the big thing there is watching the way she suffered. There is that relief. And oftentimes the relief, and a lot of people don't understand it, is the fact that if their parents have had a very difficult illness or anything like that, the sense of relief is on multiple levels. Because one thing that happens with us is when somebody close to us is suffering, whether or not we can build walls, we still feel a lot of it. And there is there's sometimes a sense of loss, sometimes not. And depending on the given sets of circumstances, some people are so upset or disturbed by their parents, they don't care. So, we're talking about individual things. I think one of the things that it does is it kind of kickstarts us to realize that we really are totally dependent on ourselves, even though we don't spend a lot of time maybe with the family. We always, normally there's that kind of security that there is some kind of family to fall back on. Or, you know, just to know they're there. And so once now, and again with my dad, it was my dad, after my mom died, he went to hell in a handbasket. He was an alcoholic, but he allowed some people to come in and live with him, and they destroyed his home. And towards the end, because I took care of him until he had a stroke, and I had to have his leg amputated. That was tough.
Yeah,
because my dad, one of my dad's biggest joys was dancing. And so for him, and he was in his well into his 80s, but for him, it would have been horrible for him to continue to live. And the reason I had to have his leg amputated is because he had gangrene. So I think the thing is you know, the way we look at things, and when somebody gets to that stage, we have to be honest enough to say, you know what, this really, it really was a blessing. And my parents are with me all the time. I agree with Jamie, and you know, I'm not saying I did everything perfect. I'm not even implying that I was perfect, But I can honestly say that I absolutely love them, and I appreciate everything that they tried to do when they were raising me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did I? And
makes
I
sense.
Made some wrong terms, and it wasn't their fault.
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer it?
Sure, if that's how you want to answer it. I was looking for just your sense of yourself, from just moving forward in your life with your choices or non choices, like you're saying, and just your sense of yourself maybe being in a different way.
But in all honesty, I'm still struggling with that.
Okay.
I mean, from moment to moment, and I think that's honest, because I think we go through different periods, and I'll call it redefining
mm-hmm.
who we are and what we choose to, and who we choose to be and what our priorities are. And I think that's, you know, that's pretty much a constant.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, Miss Gloria,
tell me about yours.
My what?
What happened with your parents?
Oh, well, my dad wound up, he kind of had a situation where he had had the flu, and then he wanted us going to sleep. So that was kind of an interesting kind of turn of events, because next thing we knew, he was just gone. So it was a very quick thing. And my mom had, she had colon cancer, and we knew about it for maybe about eight months, and really worked to just have quality time with her while she was here, and try to keep her as comfortable as possible, and she went pretty quickly as well. So, I mean, part of that was just, I guess that was part of my path this time around, is to have parents that just getting connected. It was kind of odd, though, because when my dad died, I was only 24.
Right.
So that was pretty young for me to, you know, be looking at that. But I know people that, you know, they're really young when they lose their parents. So it's just kind of interesting when you lose your parents and what happens with that. And one thing that's kind of interesting with that is I always see kind of in a pattern that a lot of people have different sense of consciousness within a year or two of having one of their parents die. So I don't know if that's true for you, Marvin, or Jane,
oh yeah, I left my husband. I walked away from a very successful business, and part of that was for me. One thing I think for me was a blessing is that I had already been in the seminary and was still in the seminary when all of this was going on. So mm-hmm. I had a spiritual base. I was
right.
only 33 when my mom passed.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was 30. Yeah, I was 33 when my mom passed, and
mm-hmm.
you know the and I was the one that had to tell my parents when my brother drowned.
Wow, I'm sure that was difficult.
Well, it was very.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing, you know, for me. Was, I made major life changes, and I'm talking about within probably 45 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it did is for me at least, is I got really clear with what my priorities were, or let's say clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, was that with your brother? That's when your brother passed?
No, when my brother passed, I was in the seminary as well. I was in the seminary for 6 years, but I took the interest. But my brother was a very troubled young man. You know, he had a violent temper. He did alcohol, and I know he did some kind of pills, but I don't really know what they were.
Uh huh.
And so, whatever God had in mind for that, but it was still devastating. To my parents,
yeah.
And he drowned in a swimming pool next door to them.
Uh-huh.
And so when you factor all those things in, but a lot of times, you know, the hardest part, I think, with any of it is when you deal with something like that, I believe the changes of some type are pretty automatic. And sometimes we don't even know that that's what they're related to. But if we go back and look into a time frame, I think, you know, we can all find some kind of a change that those types of things throw us into.
Yeah, and they definitely...
And sometimes even if the situations are bad, it's still, we're losing something that we're familiar with and we're used to.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And if the situations were not bad, then there's other huge changes that take place because we realize the big thing is mortality, because people hear about it and see about it and all kinds of other things. But when you're really up close and personal with it, it adjusts your perspective. A lot of the people that I've done consulting with, or when I was working homicides, because I worked both with the some of the suspects' families and the families of the victims.
Mm-hmm.
And the effect that a lot of those types of issues have, it's horrendous. And then there's others that you know, it was just the person's time, but still the impact and the emptiness that those people felt was absolutely
mm-hmm.
overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I mean, for each one, it's an individual experience.
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer it?
Yeah, that totally answers it. So, you know, thank you for just really sharing some of those challenges and really the opportunities for growth, but yet looking at it from just definitely, you know, when life brings you these situations, you know, how do I walk through that? And, you know, sometimes it can be very challenging, and other times it's being able to speak from a place of just loving acceptance of, you know,
well,
this is my
circumstances. Well, and I think one thing that's really important with it, and I know it's time to close it, but one thing that's really important is it's different for every individual.
Right, right, exactly. And just
no,
knowing everybody's
no
doing the best
direction.
They can with what they know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully
mm-hmm.
Have some kind of support team or wisdom or something within them to help them walk through it.
With love and grace.
Yep.
With love and grace. Well, thank you all for joining us. Like normal, the 30 minutes goes super fast. So we want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next week at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand. Or